venison out of the freezer. And I told Rodney, what is this cut of meat? It was just this nice piece of meat, just looked so lean. He said, that's shoulder. It was a small shoulder mm-hmm. roast. And so I had some golden chanterelles, which we're going to talk more about later. But I had some golden chanterelles, and I thought, oh, that will be a delicious mix. Yum. Talk about autumn food.
Yeah.
So I just basically seasoned the venison shoulder with a little bit of salt and pepper, and then I seared it in a cast iron, small kind of brasserie pan. And then once it was seared on both sides, I took it out, and then I cut up a half of an onion and put a little butter in the pan, a little onion, and then I threw in the chanterelles. These are golden chanterelles, and I cut them in some nice-sized pieces. You know, bigger than bite size. Just, you know, halved the chanterelle and then cut it into some big slices, kind of. Mm-hmm. And then I just stirred them around a little bit until the mushroom started to sweat, or they call let off its liquor.
Yeah, which always is kind of appealing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then...
Better than sweating when you're talking about food, actually.
You're right, yeah. That, I didn't really think of that.
I didn't either till just now, but yeah.
So the mushroom, you know, once it let off its liquor,
there we go.
Then I had a nice sauce to work with there, and basically I just put the shoulder back in with that, added a little bit of port and a little bit of chicken stock, maybe, you know, like a third of a cup of port and a quarter cup of chicken broth. Maybe it was the other way around. You know, just a little, yeah. A dash. So there was a little liquid there. Put on the lid on the pan and threw it in the oven and told Rodney to, you know, take it out in about an hour and a half, 2 hours. Actually, it was in there for, I think, 2 hours. Delicious. Oh, it was
really
so
good.
Rich. And the mushrooms, they just soaked up that, you know, delicious flavor and absolutely good. And just served it with some broccoli.
That sounds really good.
Yeah, some potatoes. Very good. Would you cook anything good?
This weekend? Well, not this weekend. It was just that kind of a weekend where... one thing I've made in the last week, couple weeks, was this heirloom tomato tart. And it was... I had gotten some heirloom tomatoes. You really could use... probably any tomatoes if you've got tomatoes in your greenhouse right now, or if you're getting them from, you know, the store, Chelan, or wherever, you know. The heirloom ones, the fun thing about those is quite often they're really different colors. I had a purple one, and I had a red one, and I had a yellow one.
Where'd you get the heirloom?
I had gotten them from Full Circle Farms.
Oh,
and,
okay.
Which I know, but Dave, when Chelan comes, quite often has them, too.
Yeah.
And so I had these tomatoes, and this was actually, I had gotten this from a food blog email that I get. It's from Joy the Baker. And it's a, you take puff pastry. Now, if you want to make your own puff pastry, you could really go there, but I was not going there. So I went to the store, and I bought some puff pastry, and I thawed it, and I just unfolded it. It's always folded in thirds, and
right.
I unfolded it. And then I had made a sun-dried tomato pesto, where you take sun-dried tomatoes and some garlic and a little red chili and a tiny bit of sugar and a tiny bit of salt and a little bit of olive oil from the sun-dried tomato jar.
Mm-hmm.
And you just put it in your food processor or whatever. And then you have your puff pastry and you spread it with some of that sun-dried tomato pesto. And then you put on a little goat cheese and then some torn basil. And then you lay your tomatoes so they overlap a little bit in a pretty design on the top of this, you know, leaving about a half an inch around the edge. Just leave the pastry by itself, and then you bake it, and wow,
delicious!
It was beautiful, and it was delicious,
and simple.
Yeah, very simple. You could take it; it would have been a great. Oh, you could take it for an hors d'oeuvre and just cut it in little pieces, or you can just eat it for dinner, which is what I did. So
it sounds delicious. So you just left it in the size
kind of
that it was.
Yeah, I did.
And you folded up the edges.
No, I actually didn't fold
you
up
didn't
the edges.
You didn't even fold up
no,
the edges.
No, I didn't
you
even do that. I just left it. Yeah, just left it, and it puffed up around the edge enough to keep, well, with between the cheese and the pesto, it didn't really run like other kind of cheese. So anyway, it was quite delicious, though.
That sounds delicious, and that is a heirloom tomato tart with puff pastry.
Mm-hmm.
That would even go really well with as like a starter for the dish that I was just talking about, the braised venison shoulder.
It'd be fabulous as
a starter. You know, just something a little bit different, a little bit lighter.
Yeah.
And then, well, here, if you want to make a whole meal.
Okay.
Okay, so we've got the appetizer.
Right.
We've got the main dish. And then, of course, the tart can be a main dish, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But I made a creamy squash soup yesterday morning, and I used my, out of my garden, it is a, you know, a one ball or an eight ball squash.
Mm-hmm.
They're round and they're yellow. You can also, you know, you can have the green ones too, but these are just a nice size. They're almost like a small pumpkin.
Mm-hmm.
And I have several of those growing in the garden, and I used two of those, cut them open in half, and just cut them into nice sized chunks without peeling them, and threw them in the oven for about 45 minutes or an hour with a little olive oil and some salt and pepper just to roast them. And then I put that into my blender, the meat,
mm-hmm.
the squash,
mm-hmm.
without the skin. I scraped it off, threw it in the blender, added. Here's the thing, and I know it, you know, for some of you, you may think this sounds not so good, but it was delicious. I had some pork spare ribs
mm-hmm.
the night before. I had taken off some of the juice off of those. And instead of using chicken broth, because I had this,
right.
the drippings, of course, I took off the fat,
yeah,
as much
no,
fat
I,
as I could,
I can see what you're
scraped
talking
it
about.
Off the top, put that in with the squash and added water. So it was like adding
a
pork stock.
Yeah. Oh, yum. That sounds really
so
good.
So I blended that in with the squash. And a little more salt and pepper. And so then I had this nice squash base, put it into my my saucepan or my soup, little soup pan, and then added some whipping cream to that.
Mm.
So it just had this nice, and I added a handful of fresh herbs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, went out and grabbed what I had on the porch. I had some oregano, some rosemary, and some thyme. And threw that in there in the blender with the squash. So it just blended with mm-hmm. the squash back onto the oven, onto the stove with the whipping cream. And then, of course, anytime I'm using any sort of cream like that with a soup, I like to add a little bit of nutmeg,
mm-hmm.
just a little bit of red pepper flakes. And it was a nice, delicious, yellow, creamy squash soup.
Oh, that sounds really good.
It was great. It's not, you know, you could really eat it cold
mm-hmm.
or hot. It's good both ways.
Yeah, it's funny when you think about those kind of soups cold because people don't think of that, but they really are quite delicious.
Like they are.
A tomato or a squash or any of those kind of things are so good.
It was super good. A little bit of pecorino romano on top and maybe some, I didn't have any croutons, but, you know, some fresh-made croutons.
Mm-hmm.
Delicious. Or even a little bit of dollop of goat's cheese or something.
Oh, yeah, that would be delicious.
That would tie that whole entire meal together.
It would be perfect. Hmm.
So that's Sunday dinner at my house and Barb's house.
Yeah.
Coming up next, we're going to talk about those yummy chanterelle mushrooms. We're speaking of the big golden ones that everyone's bringing into town after they go out for a little hike. Coming up next on What's for Dinner. Welcome back to What's for Dinner. I'm your host, Mindy Anderson, and with me today is Barb Steltz, a friend and cook extraordinaire, as most of you know. And today we're going to talk a little bit about chanterelle mushrooms, which if you've never cooked with golden chanterelles, it's probably because you haven't been out hunting for them before, or maybe you just don't like mushrooms.
Yeah, Some people really don't. Mm-hmm. It's a texture thing, I think, for most people.
It is. And then cooking something that's grown right there, you know, out in the woods. And a lot of people have mushroom phobias or thinking they're going to be picking the wrong ones. And, right. you know, there was that wonderful mushroom class this weekend, mm-hmm. that talk and discussion and a field trip. But I didn't get to go to that. But
I didn't either. But there's a lot of good guides that give you, because most of the mushrooms, I mean, I know with chanterelles, there's another one that looks similar, the smaller chanterelles. There's another one that looks similar, but they always give you really good clues as to tell how it's a poisonous, you know, the poisonous one and one that's not. So if you get a good guide and you find somebody, there's so many people in town who are very comfortable with mushrooms that you can just find somebody you know, and you know, it's not that hard, I don't think, anyway.
Well, I love the woody taste of a chanterelle mm-hmm. mushroom, and I love most mushrooms, actually, that you cook with. And, of course, I love truffles, truffle oil, anything mm-hmm. truffle.
Yeah, it's really good.
But I've got some recipes to share here, and I want to give you a great website first off. And when I was searching, of course, you know, I love to cook, but I don't have a million recipes on the top of my head. I can throw something together if you give me 5 ingredients without looking at a recipe. But if I really want to cook something spectacular and I need some ideas, I search on the internet. And when I search for chanterelle recipes, there are so many out there. This particular site, and you'll want to check this out, everyone, if you love chanterelles. Let me see if I can find it. I had it right here. Okay, here we go. Mark's Food, MarksFood.com/chanterelle-mushroom.recipes. Amazing. I mean, you can get tons and tons. And they're not just, you know, put them in a pan of butter. They're super delicious, exotic. Yummy, something you'd find in a restaurant.
Ooh,
and
really
so
good.
If you love to cook, you can go for it. Here is a simple and easy chanterelle and leek tart that I got off of that site. And this one uses just 1 9-inch pastry shell, so any sort of you know, pie dough recipe that you have. 4 tablespoons of butter, 1/2 pound of fresh chanterelle mushrooms, 1 leek, the white and green parts. Make sure that you open up the leek, you know, slice it, open it up, because it does have sand in it. Rinse it. You need half a cup of heavy cream, 1 teaspoon of fresh thyme leaves, salt and pepper, and 3/4 cup of shredded Gruyere. Yum.
One of the best things ever.
I know. So heat your oven to 375 and put your pastry in your pie pan or your tart pan and prick it with a fork and bake it for about 12 minutes in the oven. So keep your oven turned on, then melt your butter and add your mushrooms and your leeks, and then saute over medium-low until your leeks are softened and your mushrooms have released their liquid. So you've got this nice mushroom and leek, and you're stir-frying it up. Then add your cream, your thyme, your salt, pepper, and stir until simmering. And then pour into a pie shell, sprinkle with cheese, and bake for about 15 to 20 minutes until lightly browned. Cool for about 15 minutes before serving.
Oh, I'm sorry. Joe just walked in and handed this paper, and he said that there's thunder and lightning outside in this torrential downpour, and it looks very strange outside, so out of the tiny window that we can see.
It is a torrential downpour out there.
Yeah, anyway, so sorry to interrupt, but...
Oh, just as the kids are getting out of school, isn't that nice?
Of course. Well, and we just so seldom have lightning here. It's... Yeah.
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 Well, let's hope they get off to their sport, dance,
yes.
and everywhere they're going, and they're okay. And everyone, just be safe out there driving in the torrential downpour.
Yeah.
Take it easy. Slow down. Look where you're going. And so that's your chanterelle and leek tart. That sounds...
It sounds really good. Yeah.
I know.
Well, you put pretty much anything on a little piece of pastry in. Really does a lot for it.
A little pastry does a lot, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
You can do that same sort of thing with your chanterelle and leeks, you know, sauteing them. And then you could put those on some grilled polenta.
Mm-hmm. That would be really good, too.
So we've talked about that before on What's for Dinner. You can make a good grilled polenta with 2 cups of, this one uses milk, 2 cups of whole milk, 1.5 teaspoons of salt, and 1/2 teaspoon of fresh sage, minced, 1 teaspoon of fresh rosemary. I mean, you can use dried. You don't have to use fresh if you don't have that sitting around, or, you know, it's expensive to buy it and you don't use it that much if you don't use fresh herbs a lot. 4.5 cups of chicken broth, 1 tablespoon of olive oil, and then 2 cups of polenta. But if you put in your first ingredients, the milk, the salt, the sage, the rosemary, the chicken broth, and the olive oil together in a pan, and then get it to boiling, and then add your polenta, stirring constantly, so sprinkle it in a little bit at a time, you're going to keep cooking that, and before you know it, you're going to have, with a wire whisk or spoon, you're going to have a nice thick polenta mixture that you can put in some sort of a shallow dish, even like a jelly roll pan. You could put some plastic wrap underneath it so it comes out easily, or just spray it with some nonstick spray. And let it sit in the fridge. Let it firm up for about an hour or so. And then you can cut that into pieces and triangles and actually grill that.
The nice thing about that, too, is you can do it the day before or something, or if you've made some the day before, and then you can just take it out of the fridge.
This is a perfect fall dish to take to a potluck because it'll look really nice. Thin layer of polenta that you've grilled, whether you've done it out on your grill or you've just done it at home in the skillet even, and just browned it a little.
Gets that little bit of crusty brown on it.
It's, yep. And take some white cheese. You could even use like a cheddar, or the Gruyere would really be delicious. Put that on top of it, and then, grill it some more so it melts, and then add your chanterelle and leeks on top of that. And sprinkle it with a little Parmesan, and that would be a wonderful appetizer to take.
It would, because you could cut it in little triangles, or something. It would look very attractive, and it would be really good.
Make sure that you don't season your mushrooms until after it starts to release its liquor, because you want it to release first. Because if you put salt on it early, it's really going to start releasing way too early. And then, you know, it has so much flavor to it. You might not need as much salt as you think.
Yeah, you really don't need much. But, yeah, like you said, well, that's pretty much how I'm with everything. Many things is, you know, people that salt all their food before they even taste it. It's like, oh, just give it a taste.
Give it a little bit of a taste.
Give it a taste. You never know.
And finish it off with a little bit of salt. You need to. Do you have any chanterelle recipes that you can think of?
Oh, boy, off the top of my head.
Because I've got more.
Oh, I do have one. The one that I haven't made it for many, many years, but it was a mushroom pate, and it was fabulous, where you sautéed mushrooms and onion and some other things, and you mixed it with some other things, and you pressed it into a loaf pan. I'm going to have to dig that one out. And I've used wild mushrooms as well, and then you turn it, and it's fabulous. And you put it like in a food processor that, you know, anyway, it's really quite delicious. I got to find that one. That was really good. And it was great to serve with crackers or on crusty bread. And that's another great appetizer, too. It was a really good one.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is, one thing that Barb said is she mentioned wild mushrooms. And really, some of these recipes you could use with any type of mushroom. It doesn't have to be just chanterelles.
Right.
We just happened to be talking about chanterelles. And, you know, we've had a bunch of chanterelles at our house. We've been finding... Friends have been dropping them by. They know I love cooking with them. So it's been great. We've even dried some.
Yeah, and a lot of people do it. You can just do. How do you dry yours? Do you put them on a string and hang them up, or do you?
No, we usually put ours on like a pizza board or something like that with holes in it.
Oh yeah.
And then sometimes we put ours on the wood burning stove, just where it's nice and warm and dry over there, and let them dry up. We do it that way, and then even dry them up enough that, you know, Rodney will grind them and then put them in a jar. So we've got like a chanterelle powder.
Oh, that's nice to have.
That we can sprinkle on risottos or, you know, different foods, or put in with your stews.
So that would be great to, you know, sprinkle into a broth.
Yes.
Some kind of a soup or a stew that you're making. Yeah.
Yeah, and very fragrant.
Mm-hmm. That would be good.
So it's a chanterelle, just a nice chanterelle dusting. Of course, just I have two more recipes here. One is for a wild mushroom ragu to serve with pasta.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
And it would really be good with some potato gnocchi or any sort of your favorite pasta. Mm-hmm. Probably not macaroni macaroni.
No, I think it would need something larger.
Yeah.
Wider.
You definitely want something that has a thick, chewier taste to it when it comes to pasta. Even, you know, you could even use a ribbon pasta of some sort.
I would think more of that than like even a penne because it, I don't know, it would stick better, I think, to a ribbon kind of a pasta.
So this one calls for 2 to 3 ounces of dried mushrooms. So chanterelles or porcinis or anything like that. You could also use fresh. 3 tablespoons of butter or olive oil, a quarter of a pound of thick bacon cut into half-inch chunks. That already makes the ragu sound delicious. 1 finely chopped onion, 4 finely chopped garlic cloves. And, of course, to make a ragu, you need to have tomato paste. So 2 tablespoons of tomato paste and then 2 cups of red wine. I really agree with putting red wine into ragus. They make them so much richer. It doesn't taste like red wine.
No.
If you don't cook with red wine, really, it does not taste like wine once it's cooked and into your meal. It just gives it a richness.
It just adds a whole other level of flavor to it.
It does. Of course, 1 tablespoon of dried oregano, 1 to 3 cups of mushroom soaking liquid. And that's if you're using dried mushrooms because you're going to use the soaking liquid to, of course, reconstitute the mushrooms a little bit. Some oregano, black pepper, fresh oregano, black pepper, and some Parmesan or pecorino cheese.
So you could just use a little stock if you hadn't used the
Yes, you could.
Yeah.
You could just use fresh mushrooms and some stock.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're using dried mushrooms, or maybe you've dried your chanterelles already, soak the mushrooms in a large bowl of hot tap water, keep them submerged, and, you know, generally you can continue cutting the rest of your ingredients and get going on those and let them sit for about 30 minutes, 20 minutes, or several hours. It just depends on how dry and big they are. And then once you've rehydrated them, then just rinse them and set them aside, squeeze them, dry them a little bit, but then strain your mushroom soaking water if you want to and leave it set aside because you'll definitely want to use it for your sauce.
Yeah, it would be a waste to just toss it.
Yeah,
for sure.
Don't toss it. Then start cooking your fat or butter. Add your bacon and make sure it gets crisp. Then add your onions and then add your garlic and your mushrooms and stir in. Cook it about 3 to 4 minutes. So you just really have this, I can almost smell it. And then, of course, you're going to have a glass of red wine while you're making it.
That too.
Mm-hmm. So that just, I can smell it from here. You're cooking it. You've got a nice stir going there. And it doesn't take as long as you think. Then you're going to pour in your red wine and your oregano. Bring it to a boil. Let it cook down a little bit. Add your mushroom liquid or your broth if you've maybe decided not to, you know, add dried mushrooms. You want it to kind of be like a stew, not like a soup. Add a little salt if you want to and let it cook. So let it cook down a little bit and then put your pasta in some water. And when you're ready to serve, mix the ragu with your pasta. Top with some more of the sauce, garnish with some chopped fresh oregano, the ground pepper, some grated cheese, and delicious.
Sounds delicious.
It does. So that's a mushroom ragu. So basically you're making the ragu as if you're using, you can substitute, here's a good one, short rib ragu.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever cook short rib meat, which is very expensive.
It is very expensive.
But a short rib ragu is so good.
Mm-hmm.
But you can substitute other mushrooms or even like nice meat like that too to make a ragu. It's the same basic recipe.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you can't talk about mushrooms without a mushroom soup.
Mushroom soup is one of the better things in life, I believe.
It is. It is. This one's more of a French mushroom soup. It starts with the voulet sauce, mm-hmm. actually, which you do use when you're making a mushroom soup. Some chicken stock, about 6 cups of it, or if you have some sort of other stock that you want to use, like a turkey mm-hmm. stock or something like that, you can use that. Couple tablespoons of unsalted butter and a couple tablespoons of flour to make your voulet sauce. So you start with the butter and the flour, and you make this nice thick mixture. Then you slowly add in your chicken stock, so you have this nice creamy sauce. So it's going to thicken. The butter's going to thicken up with the flour, and you're making a roux. Then you take in your stock and start streaming it in and stirring it to make that nice voulet sauce. And then, delicious. Then, while the voulet is simmering, you're going to make your mushroom base by mincing your mushrooms and some shallots and let them release their liqueur and saute them with a little bit of salt then. Then, this one uses a little bit of saffron. A little bit of saffron.
That's nice. And people always balk at buying saffron, you know, when you go to the store and it's like $12 for a little tiny thing. But you just use the tiniest bit of it. So it really lasts quite a long time.
And you know what? You don't have to use the saffron.
No, you don't either.
In place of saffron, you could even use just a little bit of curry powder. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to be saffrony tasting, but it is going to have a lot of flavor.
Or just even a little bit of turmeric. That
yes.
is good too.
Mm-hmm.
It gives it that nice golden color.
Yep. So. If you just happen to have saffron and you're able to use it, or you're a foodie and you know, when you go down south or wherever and you're shopping, that's what I spend my money on more than shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then you're going to add some brandy, a little shot of brandy, half a quarter of a teaspoon of saffron, and mix that up into the voulet. Add the mushroom puree. You're going to puree those mushrooms up a little bit so they're not such big chunks. If you want to leave them into big chunks, that's fine too. Add all of that to your voulet, and then a little bit of cream. About a half a cup,
yeah,
three quarters
really
of a
good.
Cup of cream, and before you know it, you have a really nice mushroom soup. If you really want a creamy mushroom soup, you could add some egg whites.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like three egg yolks, not egg whites, egg
yeah.
yolks. Three egg yolks and whisk them up in a separate bowl. Add a little bit of the voulet to the bowl.
To temper it. So
to
it
temper it.
Cook the eggs.
And then stir, 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 stir. So you get this nice yolky creaminess.
Yeah.
And add that back to your soup. And that also gives it a very nice creaminess too.
But that's the huge important step, is to just keep adding a little bit of that soup to the eggs. So otherwise you'll have scrambled eggs in with your soup, and that would be disgusting. Well, maybe not disgusting, but...
Right. It's just like making a hollandaise
mm-hmm.
or a custard.
Yeah.
Or, you know, anything where you're adding egg yolks. You don't want to cook them. You want to just temper them a little mm-hmm. bit. You want to cook them just a little bit so that they're it makes your dish creamy. You can call us at the radio station, 772-3808, if you have a special recipe you'd like to share with us today, especially with chanterelle mushrooms. That's 772-3808. You're listening to What's for Dinner. Coming up next, we're going to talk about using that fresh produce. Thank you. Welcome back to What's for Dinner. I'm your host, Mindy Anderson, and with us today is Barb Stelz. And we were talking about chanterelle mushrooms and cooking with chanterelles. Today we're also going to talk about using up the star of the week out of the garden, and that would be our yellow summer squash. We have talked about zucchini, but really they're along the same family.
They really are, and some of us, I don't know if you still have some left. I've got the little dregs of mine left kind of in my garden. I was doing some work out there on Saturday morning, and I just couldn't bear to pull them off yet. They're the one few things that are still out there, that I haven't transplanted into the greenhouse and stuff like that, so it's kind of nice.
Everything looked so happy out there yesterday.
Oh, it did.
Pulled the potatoes out. Man, it was just wonderful. It's just still Harvest City.
Yeah.
Have lots of those eight-ball squash out there. And now with the looking outside and at the pouring rain, it's like, should have cut those off.
Yep, that's what I was just thinking.
Because now they're going to get moldy.
They are, and so I got to go get those off. But I have this one thing that I've made a few times, and it's a squash and spinach gratin. And it's quite lovely where you grate the squash. You can either use, and it's a summer squash, so it's either, you know, the little patty pans, and a lot of people grow those here too, or zucchini, or the yellow squash that look like zucchini. But you grate that, and then you let it sit for a while to release some of its moisture, and then you saute it, some bacon, which bacon makes everything good, and some onions, and the zucchini. And you have some spinach, and a lot of people still have spinach growing, especially now that it's cool. It's really doing well. And you kind of chop that up and saute all of that. And then you're going to, with garlic, of course, and some fresh parsley, which a lot of people still have. And then you'll take that out and you'll mix it with some Parmesan and some eggs and a little bit of maybe some pepper. And nutmeg would be good in that, too, as we were talking about mm-hmm. that. Even though this doesn't have the cream in it, with those vegetables, it's good. And then you just pat it into a little casserole that you've greased. You can either, you know, spray it with something or put butter in there if you want, or whatever you want. And then I just drizzled a little olive oil on the top and a little bit of breadcrumbs with a little Parmesan and baked that. And it was really fabulous.
So do you you whip the eggs? You whisk them a little bit?
I whisk them a little bit before I put them in there. Yeah, just so that they're not the big lumps of, you know, the yolks and everything, and did that. And it's a great side dish to go with some grilled meat or something, or fish that you have.
Yeah, yeah.
It would be really good. I think you could also put some like Italian sausage in it or something too, and make it a whole one dish meal too. So,
yeah, squash and Italian sausage seem to go really well together. That was one of the recipes that I was going to mention for use that fresh produce today. You know, you can kind of core out a half of one of those small squash, mm-hmm. and then, you know, stuff it with some sausage. Maybe some red pepper and some sausage and some onion that you've stir-fried up together. Mm-hmm. And then let that cool a little bit and add some goat's cheese to that.
Oh, that would be delicious.
Yeah, and then put that in your squash boat, mm-hmm. I guess you could say, and then put that in the oven and cook it. And that's a delicious, either, you know, depends on who you're cooking for, mm-hmm. But that could be an appetizer or a main dish. Yeah. You could serve some brown rice on the side or quinoa.
Yeah, quinoa. That's one of my not my new favorites, but it's a current favorite at my home. We eat a lot of quinoa.
Yeah.
It's delicious.
It's delicious. Everyone's starting to try it. And
yeah, it's really good.
So far, great reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And then another thing you could do with your squash is, of course, a frittata.
Mm-hmm.
Those
are great for breakfast, lunch, dinner, anything.
Mm-hmm.
Or an appetizer if you're taking one somewhere. You can make one of those and cut it in little triangles.
Yes.
And it's nice, too.
I would suggest, you know, we have talked about frittatas before on What's for Dinner. Make sure you stir-fry your vegetables up first.
Oh, yes.
It's like a quiche. You know, you don't want to bite into a uncooked piece of red pepper. You know what I mean?
Right. And the other thing that happens then is
stir-fry them up a little.
If you don't, especially with things like zucchini and mushrooms and peppers, is that if you don't saute them first, they haven't released their liqueur, their moisture.
Yes.
And then it makes your egg thing all runny and separates, and it's not that great.
That's right. It doesn't take long. Just a little bit of olive oil and anything that you're going to throw into your frittata or your quiche, unless it's like smoked salmon.
Yeah.
But that can just all go in together and let it, you know, release a little bit in that and set it aside. Then when you go to make it, you throw that in. And, of course, you know, it's different with potatoes. And I would cook your potatoes, too.
Oh, definitely cook potatoes.
Don't put raw potatoes in a frittata.
They'll still be raw.
They will. I mean, really, you're just cooking it enough to cook the eggs.
Yeah.
when you're making a frittata. So remember that. There's lots of recipes on the internet for frittatas. And so zucchini is the star of the week. Won't be long, and I won't be able to say use that fresh produce anymore because we are harvesting. And
This has been such an exceptional year, too. It's I feel blessed and spoiled.
Me
a little
too.
Bit.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I'm very glad with the amount of work I put into the garden and what I got out of it this year.
Yeah,
so
it's been great.
Okay. Coming up next on What's for Dinner, we're going to announce the drink of the week and then today's tip. Welcome back to What's for Dinner, and we're talking about the drink of the week. I always give a drink of the week, and try to give one that has alcohol in it and one that doesn't have alcohol in it. Today's drink is called the Hunter's Cocktail, and most hunting seasons take place in the autumn, and it's a little bit chillier, and you're chilly when you get back from hunting, and this is a great drink to warm you up from the inside out. And it's a lowball cocktail, has the hunter in mind. Of course, I'm not going to say go out there, have one of these, and go out and go hunting.
No, after you get home.
This is when you get back to the cabin or get back home, you're warming up. No, you don't go drinking a bunch of these and then go out with a gun.
No.
That would not be good. So this is for after you get back, a perfect way to relax after a day of hiking through the woods or, staking out a deer trail or whatever. And there is a ladies' version of this, but it was had like 5 or 6 ingredients. And
a little too fussy.
It's a little bit fussy. I try to stay away from all those fussy ones. I mean, I can blend a little bit and puree and add a few things here and there, but when you're talking, you've got to buy 5 different ingredients for one drink. 5 different alcoholic ingredients. Those are the ones I try to steer from.
Yeah, it's a little expensive.
Yes, and then you don't ever use them again.
Right.
But this one, I think, is pretty simple for all ya, and especially those guys going out hunting and gals.
Mm-hmm.
So this is 1.5 ounces of whiskey, 1/2 ounce of cherry brandy, and maraschino cherry for garnish if you want to. I don't see many of the guys out there throwing the cherry in at the cabin, but, you pour the whiskey and cherry brandy in old-fashioned glass with ice, stir well, that's it.
Well, that's nice and simple.
I mean, it does sound like it could be very warming, like
it does.
Just perfect going out on a cold day. And, of course, if you want something that doesn't have alcohol in it, I was thinking, after hunting, I love to have like a nice cup of coffee, tea. Not a big hot chocolate fan, but many people like hot chocolates. So, there's so many hot drinks out there. And then, of course, go ahead.
Oh, I just was saying I had gotten from a place that I'd ordered from. It's a drinking chocolate mix, and it's not like the powdered kind. It's little chunks, but it's with chipotle peppers in it. Now, there's a good one if you were hunting. It's just got that little bit of heat to it, a little smoky, a little heat with the chocolate, and it's one of the few hot chocolates that I do like. Actually.
Mm. Well, I'm not a big hot chocolate fan, but I would be willing to try that one, definitely. I do like hot, of course, any of the hot teas, like chai teas.
Yeah, those are nice, too, when you've come in from cold. Chai is one of those ones that's really good because it's got the spice in it and all of it. It's very warming.
And I like it with a milk base, so very warming. So this one's the Hunter cocktail. You can look them up on the internet. You can also find the Huntress cocktail. It's almost the same thing, only it uses a little bit of cream and some other froofy things, maybe. And I just want to let you know that What's for Dinner on KFSK is brought to you in part by Keto's Cave and Liquor Store, inviting everyone to stop in after work on Friday, September 27th, from 6 to 10 for wine tasting with cheese, snacks, and great company. Keto's Cave and Liquor Store, located on Singley Alley, featuring mix and match cases and the entire wine selection for one night only. Here's my tip of the week. Take, 5, 6, 7 potatoes and put them in the oven and bake them, and then use them throughout the week.
That's a great idea.
You know, because potatoes take a long time to cook, mm-hmm. and if you're like, oh, shoot, I forgot the potatoes, well, you're kind of...
Yeah, it's too late.
It's too late. I mean, you either got to cut them up really small and stir-fry them or boil them real quick or throw them in the microwave, but you can get a lot out of 5, 6, 7 nice potatoes, mm-hmm. and then cut them up and stir-fry them with any sort of poultry or mm-hmm. meat that you want to use, with just a little bit of olive oil and some spices, and you've got a wonderful, you know, or you know, cooking them on Friday night for Friday night dinner, save some, and you've got them for Sunday morning, big, nice dinner with eggs and bacon.
Yep. Or if you want to have breakfast for dinner, which we sometimes do at our house, that's a great way to do it, too.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I cooked up a bunch of potatoes, knowing we were harvesting our potatoes, and actually, I just had these big bag of potatoes that I mm-hmm. thought, oh, what am I going to do with all of them? Make potato gnocchi and this and that. Actually, I went to get some out the other night. I thought, oh, that's right, I have some of those potatoes. We had used them already.
Wow.
So yeah. I was very thankful for that, especially mm-hmm. when you've got these evenings that are so busy with the kids coming
right.
up.
Yeah.
So
this
it's a perfect
time of year,
thing.
It gets really busy again. So.
And most kids love potatoes.
Most of them do, yeah.
Well, thanks, Barb.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We appreciate having you here today. That wraps up this week's What's for Dinner. And if you've missed any portion of today's What's for Dinner, you can hear it in its entirety on kfsk.org. What's for Dinner is brought to you in part by Hammer and Wecon Grocery Store, a Petersburg family-owned business since 1921. And Keto's Cave and Liquor Store, featuring wine tasting on Friday, September 27th from 6 to 10. Have a good afternoon, everyone.